Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Women's Soccer Zone. And after God knows how long, JJ Duke and I are doing a show in person. How are you, my friend?
It's live, which means only one thing. Anything that can and will be said could be held against us. But I don't think it matters too much. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. We are recording on the evening of the NWSL draft. You and I were at the Baltimore Convention Center earlier today to sit in on the 2016 draft, which threw up many surprises, saw a number of players, 40 in total, drafted to the 10 clubs across the league. So JJ and I will evaluate some of those picks. We also managed to get some audio with some of the players that were involved in those picks, some of the coaches as well, so you'll hear from some of them over the course of the show. But rather than rabbiting on, we'll have a quick break, and then when we come back, we will discuss some of the earlier picks that happened early on in the day.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So welcome back. JJ, I don't think there's anywhere better to start than, of course, the first round of the NWSL draft that took place today. And before we'd even attended the Baltimore Convention Center, we woke up this morning to an interesting trade that took place involving Sky Blue FC, the Portland Thorns, and Nadia Nadim. Do you want to give listeners a little bit more info on that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Kieran says literally we woke up, literally our phones were buzzing as we were waking up out of our beds. Yes, so what happened was Sky Blue FC and the Portland Thorns ended up swapping picks, almost, if you will. Sky Blue acquired the second overall pick in this year's draft, as well as a natural first-round pick, which would have been Portland's pick, and a conditional fourth-round selection in the 2017 draft in exchange for the rights to Nadia Nadim and what was Sky Blue's third overall pick in this year's draft and the natural second-rounder. Long story short, that means Sky Blue and Portland swap picks, and that next year Sky Blue is going to get two bites of the apple in a very loaded draft class in 2017.
But it does mean that Sky Blue have lost Nadia Nadim. Now, we know how influential she's been on that team over the last couple of years in New Jersey. Regardless of the picks that they will get, they lose a very, very important player, don't they?
No, they do. And I think, you know, Nadia, I've been around that team during preseason matches, during regular season matches, and she's a player that, you know, as a player would love to feed off of, because she's got great emotion, great personality. She's not afraid to, you know, if she's angry at herself, she's going to be upset at herself. And if she scores a goal, it usually produces a wild celebration comes. And I think a couple of corner flags have suffered in the result of a couple of celebrations with the old karate kick. But yeah, no, she's a great player, great influence on this league. And it is going to be unfortunate for Sky Blue, but I think, you know, you have to look long terms here, and Sky Blue is a team that's rebuilding and they have to look young in order to get themselves on the right foot.
Well, it made things interesting, didn't it, early doors, because Portland Thorns also had the overall number one pick that they had acquired from the Orlando Pride, which came as a result of the trade that they had with Alex Morgan at the end of last year. We were expecting it to be Emily Sonnet, who is, of course, currently in the US Women's National Team camp, so she wasn't present at the draft. It was Emily Sonnet, no surprise to us whatsoever, but the Portland Thorns get a very, very good prospect in Emily Sonnet, don't they?
No, I mean, Sonny is just, she's a solid defender. Was on the team last year in the University of Virginia run-up to the College Cup Final. This year, same story. Now getting herself into the U.S. national team camp and is a real prospect to be on that Olympics roster and qualification roster, for that matter, in the coming weeks. Now, it's weird to say weeks already for the fact that the Olympics are fairly close by. But yeah, no, she's going to be a fun player to watch. She's going to mesh in nicely with Kat Williamson in the back there, and I think she'll find a really good home in Virginia with both her technical skills and just overall strength.
Home in Portland. She's come from Virginia, of course, but moving on, we're not going to go through every single pick because that would be 40 players and we'd be here till tomorrow morning. But with that trade that took place involving Nadia Nadim, Sky Blue did have the second pick, which was supposed to be Portland's, and as a result, it freed up an international spot, and they picked out of Penn State Raquel Rodriguez. Now, we are expecting big things from her, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Rocky, she's known by just a player that has world-class touch, has an eye for the game, which I made a comparison to, and I'm sticking with it, almost like a Paul Scholes-esque, where she can pick out a pass from a mile away, hit a perfect ball, and then when she returns or gets a return, she's got great control, great touch, knows where the goal is, has a go. You know, a key factor, Costa Rica's World Cup team this year with that international experience. And in a midfield trio now, if you look at Sky Blue's roster of Sarah Killian, Katie Friels, and now Rocky Rodriguez, that is a formidable trio that could rival really any midfield three in the league.
Yeah, and we actually, because of the chaos involving players being picked and then media scrums, we missed the beginning of Rocky Rodriguez's interviews with the media, but we did manage to catch her very briefly, and she talked about the position that she'd like to take in Costa Rica of being a bit of a role model. Obviously, there are players out there like Shirley Cruz, but there's not many high-profile Costa Ricans, so she spoke about wanting to be a role model to young women and young girls out in Costa Rica.
My hope is to be that role model that in the past my generation did not have. And I hope that this just helps to grow the game. And like I said, I just want to be that role model and take this with that much responsibility.
How old were you when you started playing soccer?
4 years old. I started
like,
to learn.
What was it like training in Costa Rica?
It was good. It was my dad who taught me how to play soccer in the early years, and I started with boys. There were not that many girls, so it was interesting. I did grow up with many frustrations. I just couldn't see how the dreams that I had could come true at that moment, but things change in 10 years, 5 years, so like I said, I couldn't be more grateful to be here, to be part of the league, and it's really a dream come true.
So that was Raquel Rodriguez. The second bit of trade news that took place on the day involved the Portland Thorns and the Boston Breakers. Now, literally at 10 o'clock Eastern time, we all got an email into our inbox from US Soccer stating that there would be a new allocation process in place. Boston Breakers were the number one team on that list. So essentially any allocations that took place, was it in the future or allocations over the course of 2016, US allocations, then teams that finished in a particular order or the reverse order of the NWSL last year, the bottom team would pick first or would get first allocation, and the team that finished top would be the bottom team for allocations. As a result of that, Portland Thorns took Boston's first place allocation and gave them the third pick of the NWSL draft, and they went and signed Kristen Westthall, a centre-back. You know a lot about her, and you praised Boston for that pickup because you rate her highly, don't you?
Absolutely. For those who don't know, Kristen Westphal, a center back out of the University of Florida, SEC champions this year, but she's not your traditional center back. She's very technical in the back, good skill, knows how to win a ball when she has to, but she has this ability to start attacks out of a center back position, not playing as a creative lying midfielder or a holding midfielder. She will start attacks. She knows how to distribute. She'll know how to pick apart that pass. And the one thing that Boston is really going to appreciate from her, she is a dead ball specialist. Now, you don't often hear center backs being, you know, free kick specialist, but I've seen her hit some of the best set pieces in all the college game in a few years. And anytime there's a ball, you know, 25, 30 yards outside of the box, I'm not going to be surprised to see Westphal be the one to go take. And she's a player that truly Boston can build around in the sense of continuing to get young players in. She's going to work now with Whitney Eng in the back line for the Breakers and, you know, going to have a whole lot of success there. And I think that can only really help her game.
Well, Kristen was present at the draft, so she spoke to media about her move. She was a little bit nervous, But fair play to her. She did manage to compose herself and speak very eloquently and very clearly to the media. So here she is on her move to the Boston Breakers.
I'm still nervous from going on stage, honestly. But I'm extremely excited, of course. This is a huge opportunity and something I've always kind of dreamed of. So it's incredible that it's kind of coming true.
When did you start playing soccer?
I started playing when I was 4. So I've been playing since I was very, very young. So.
What clubs have you played with?
I've played with internationals for the majority of my career. They're based out of Cleveland. So.
Tell us a little bit about what you can bring to the table with Boston, especially what you did in Florida for the past couple of years.
Sure. So kind of what I did in Florida was kind of been able to be a part of the attack and the defense. So I definitely think I can bring that to Boston and be able to not just be effective on defense, be able to affect the offense as well.
And set piece abilities as well.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself moving further forward? I know you played center back at Florida. Do you see yourself moving potentially to like a holding mid or a defensive?
I mean, honestly, I'm open to anything kind of at this point. But I've played holding mid before in high school, so I mean, I would never say no to that. But
has the coaching staff talked to you about what they expect of you or anything yet?
In the few meetings that I've had with them, yes, kind of, but just being able to come in and be comfortable and be able to get myself to be able to play at my best is kind of what I'm focused on right now, is to be able to play my best so I know that I can make an impact coming in.
And how much are you looking forward to working with a coach who's won 2 league titles in England?
Oh, it's amazing. It's awesome. I had my coach Alan. He reminds me a lot of my coach Alan at UF, so I'm extremely excited about it.
At what point did you think playing professional was in your future and would be possible?
Would be possible or yeah, when
what,
I wanted
point,
to?
Yeah, what point in your career did you?
I would say going into college, I talked to Becky about it a lot, that I really wanted to go to a college that could develop me and be able to prepare me for that next level, both personally and both on the soccer field. And Becky's definitely done that beyond what I could have ever asked for, honestly.
Any Boston connections for you?
No, I've never been to Boston, so I'm extremely excited to go. Look at the city.
Boston was going to pick you? What did you know?
No, I did not. But I'm extremely excited about it.
Well, as I said, we're not going to go through every single round player by player. We wanted to pick out the first 3 and talk a little bit about them. The other story in the first round was probably that of the Houston Dash. Now, Houston had 3 picks in the whole draft. They all came in the first round at number 5, number 6 and number 8. They plumped for Curry Roquero out of Notre Dame, Rachel Daly from St. John's and Janine Becky from Texas Tech. Now, any Canadians listening, they will know Janine Becky very well because she is now currently in the Canadian women's national team and is starting to make a real name for herself. I'd be the first to admit, as someone who doesn't get a lot of access to the college game, Curry Roquero is not someone that I'm too familiar with. But Rachel Daly, and I will talk about her in a minute, is certainly someone that I know a lot about. But tell us a little bit about Curry Roquero.
You know, she, 2-time U.S. under 20 national team player, won the U-20 World Cup in 2012, was the captain of the last team in 14, another solid defender. And this is a real roots pick. She played under now Houston Dash head coach Randy Waldrum when Curry started playing at Notre Dame University. You know, this is a player that I was not surprised in the slightest that she's going to get picked. The one thing that she's going to be dealing with, a bit of an injury, not going to be able to factor into the early portion of the season. But when talking with Randy Waldrum during the draft, he said that he wanted to look through the talents that were available at the time. Was she the best on the board at that time? She was. Was she good enough that the team could be fine to let her rehab for the first half of the season, then use her to build a team around? Yes. So obviously she's a highly rated player and someone that's going to be, you know, a presence down in Houston.
Well, I mentioned Rachel Daly, former Lincoln Ladies player, former Leeds United player, played in the FAWSL, played as a fullback in the FAWSL, but has made a name for herself in the college system with St. John's University as a striker, has been in formidable form for the university, looking at a lot of the mock drafts that were put together by US journalists, she was expected to go fairly high up. She did go high up at number six. Now, it's a real credit to her as much as anything, because not only has she been picked highly, but she also fills one of the international spots on the Houston Dashes roster. Now, they are at a premium. You know, there's only a few roster spots that are allocated for international spots. And now Rachel Daly has taken one of them. So I look at her as being really important. And actually, I managed to have a chat with her, and I managed to have a chat with her new coach, Randy Waldrum, who also spoke about the two other players that he picked in the draft. So first off, you're going to hear from Rachel, and then you will hear from Randy Waldrum. And after that, we will come back and talk about the second round. So I'm joined by delighted Rachel Daly for Women's Soccer Zone. Rach, you've just come off stage, having been picked by the Houston Dash, girl from Harrogate. How do you feel?
I don't know. It's a weird feeling. I just got asked a question when it really hit me about being in the draft, and it was really today. I came here and I'd not thought about it until today, and I got here and I was just so excited, so nervous, so excited. But I'm over the moon to be with Houston. I've had a lot of conversations with Randy, and you know, and you can tell he shares the same passion for me about football. So, you know, I think I'm really excited to join them, and to be number six was huge for me.
It's one of those where you've decided to attend the draft. We've seen in the past where players attend and they're left waiting and they're left waiting and they're left waiting. How much of a relief was it to go so early and to a club like Houston?
Huge. You know, I've obviously seen the mocks of everyone predicting things, but you can't look into them. You know, people have their opinions and, you know, things like that. But I had a good feeling. I thought, you know, I've had a good year. I've done pretty well in college. Having spoke with Randy, I thought he only has three picks and they're all in the first round. So he was very interested in me, and I was obviously interested in coming to Houston. So I think with making the connection work, it was almost, I was hoping I'd go in the first round, but you know, you never know on the day. And that's something he said to me, you'll never know on the day what happens. So it's great to be in the first round.
And not just the first round, I'd need to look at the records, but I'm pretty confident in saying that since the NWSL's inception, first English player to be drafted out of the college as well. That must be pleasing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I always want to, you know, growing up for me, I had role models like Kelly Smith and you know, people like that. And, you know, it's good for me, you know, to have people look up to me now and you know, make kids want to go out and follow their dreams and go to America and combine their studies with playing and go turn professional out here. And so hopefully it'll be I'll be more of a role model for the people that want to come out here.
And how much of an influence do you think your career in the FAWSL will be when you step onto that pitch in the NWSL?
I think it's the professional thing that I'll take with me. You know, learning how to be a professional in England. You know, I learned a lot at Lincoln. I learned a lot when I played for Leeds, and I think that, you know, playing with the older players, then obviously now I've been in college, I've been playing with younger players for the whole 4 years, so taking that into the NWSL will be good for me. You know, I think I'll go in with an upper hand than a lot of other people. So
I'm sure you want to take it one step at a time, but 2015 was an incredible year for football back in England. Internationals, you've had a little bit of a sniff in Mark Sampson's squads. How much is that a focus of yours now that you're going to be a professional soccer player?
It's a huge focus. It's always there in the back of my mind. I think about it every day. You know, not a day goes by where I don't think about how much I want to be in the national team. But Mark's a great coach, phenomenal coach, great person, and they've got a fantastic squad. So I can only do what I can do. I'll work my ass off to get to hopefully get in there again and show them what I can do.
Brilliant. Congratulations, Rachel.
Thank you.
Take us through the draft picks today. Why, you know, Carrie and Rachel, yeah, as well as Janine?
Well, what we did is going into it, we obviously had a list of how we rated the players as what we thought were the best players available. Mm-hmm. And our discussions really in thinking about this came down to the fact of, you know, we think Raquel was one of the best players coming out of the draft. She played for me at Notre Dame, so I know her very well. We knew she had an injury, so the discussion was, is she good enough to wait and let her rehab, knowing that we're going to miss her for part of the year this year with her injury. And we just felt like, yes, she's the long-term answer for us as a center back, and so we were willing to wait. So that one was kind of the logic behind taking Raquero. And then obviously we traded last week Jess McDonald and Tiff McCarty away to pick up the eighth pick. And Rachel was one that we wanted from the get-go up front, and Becky, because we thought for us and the way we play, those were the two best forwards, even though we knew Doniak was still available. And you know, a Chana Williams we thought would be available, which she was till right before we picked Becky. But that's how we rated. So for us, the draft really fell exactly like we wanted. You know, now we had other options. Had Westfall been available and had a Rodriguez been available, we may have taken a little bit of a different path, may have only taken one forward, you know. But the good thing with Rachel is she's going to be here all year. You know, she's graduated already, so we have her from day one of preseason, and we've got her all year, and she's young, so we'll have her for a long time to come. Becky, we knew by taking her, we liked her, but she has an opportunity that she may miss some time this year if she makes the Olympic team for Canada. So we needed, you know, we needed to go ahead and get, you know, the two strikers while we could. And that's one area that we've lacked in scoring goals in the last couple of years. And so we needed that. And so it was great that we had that what we thought was the two best forwards on the table still there when we picked.
Sure. So now about Daly from that piece. What made it so special about her that you wanted to pick her? Especially, you know, prolific goal scorer, St. John's, knows where the net is.
Yeah. Two things. One is her goal scoring ability. Yeah, what she's done, which actually, quite frankly, Doniak's done, Becky's done, Daly's done. You know, so those top forwards, all, and even Chana Williams, they've all had a remarkable scoring record in college, and they've played in some at good levels in good divisions with their team. But we love the fact that she's finds a way to score goals, and she scores them in every way. You know, it's not just with her feet, it's with her head, it's, you know, it's every body part she can throw in. But I think the thing that we really, really liked about her are those other intangibles that she brings, and that is she's highly competitive. You know, she doesn't like to lose in anything, and she works her butt off in training. And, you know, talking to Ian Stone about her, who I've known for years from my days in college, he just raved about the fact that sometimes it's to a point where she gets frustrated with her teammates people aren't working hard enough and that kind of thing. And that's the mentality a good striker needs, you know, that you're not afraid. She's not afraid to throw her body in against the goalkeeper or throw it in against a defender to try to fight to win the opportunity to score the goal. And that, so those qualities we thought was a great compliment just to obviously her technical ability alone and her goal scoring ability. So those are the intangibles that we thought she brought, which was one of the reasons we had her rated so high.
Sure. And early on, it's early to speculate, but where do you see her in your team?
We'll play her straight out up front, you know, probably more central. Now, a lot will depend on how, you know, getting her and Becky gives us an opportunity to kind of tweak the shape that we play our three front. You know, you could play her as an out and out target and play two wing players. You could play her in a two front and let somebody play underneath. You could play her out wide if you needed to play her out wide. So I think she gives us the flexibility. But right now, based on what we have, I would say we'll play her right out as our target player.
How much more ready do you think she'll be, Randy, having played in the WSL? Obviously, she's played against international players already.
Yeah.
How much of a step up does that give her?
I think it's huge. You know, anybody that's been around the international game knows that it's a different level, you know, altogether. And so even though she's not in the full side with England, she's been in the youth team system, and so she's got that experience. I do think playing in those summer leagues, which is kind of the notch below our league, certainly helps her. And I think anytime you can find a player that can bring that international experience to your team, you know, you want to take it if it's available, you know, because the American game, one of the problems that we find with American players, and this is not a slam, but we're so go, 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 and it's, you know, it's everything's so quick. Sometimes you need players that can go, you know, calm the game down and play a little bit more of a tactical kind of game. And, you know, that's true with our national, even all of our national teams at every level. You know, it's not, you watch France play or you watch, you know, the Brazilians play, and it's more, they know when to counter, when it's time to counter. They know when to slow it down. And you watch the American players go, and it's just fight, 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 and it's always go, go, go. And so I think having Rachel having that experience with this just adds to it, because the good thing is we've already got a collection of players that her style fits. You know, we've got Andressa that's a Brazilian midfield player. We've got a Morgan Bryan that's a technical, clean little player. That, you know, you've got a Carly Lloyd that brings a different kind of dimension to your team up front. And a Chioma, who we picked up
from Arsenal,
is very technical, you know, up front. So she had a great season. So that's the kind of team I want, is the players that can start to keep it when we need to keep it, and yet go when we need to go, because Rachel's clearly athletic and pacey. And so you want to have that, because the modern game is such a counterattacking game now. And then I think she'll give you the work on the defensive side too, you know, and that's those days of Jeff Hurst standing up front kind of waiting, you know, or over. And it's the same thing. You know, you got to have a forward that's willing to do the work on both sides of the ball.
I guess that versatility could be an asset for you because she's played up front for St John's, but when she was playing for Lincoln back in England, she did play as a fullback.
Exactly, and we love that about her, and I think that's the thing with, you look at as a coach, since our rosters are only 20, you've got to find enough players that can play in multiple positions. So absolutely.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So that was Rachel Daly and Randy Waldron. Big thanks to them for giving us a bit of their time. We move on to the second round, JG. Now, one of the players that was expected to go fairly highly, and has done in fairness, she was the 11th pick overall for the Western New York Flash, Mackenzie Doniec, a good forward prospect in the draft. And what do we expect from her, and how much of a good pickup is that for Western New York?
You know, her pickup for this team, it's continuing the trend of young talent, talent that includes U.S. roster pool players. She's going to be joining front line with Lynn Williams up there, a couple other forwards that know how to score goals. And Mackenzie Doniec, her career with Virginia was scoring goals. But the one thing that she's added to her game is the ability to find the pass, not just always be the one that's receiving and scoring. So I think that adds a different dimension to her game. Her goal total has gone down a bit over the past year in, you know, comparison to the past couple of years at Virginia. But I still think with her abilities, her experience on the international level, she's right on the cusp of at least getting a look for the U.S. national team. She'll do fine in Western New York. And I think they got a nice selection with her at 11.
Well, at 13... if it wasn't enough to have one English player drafted and potentially playing in the NWSL, Leah Galton from the same town, believe it or not, as Rachel Daly, Harrogate in Yorkshire in England, was also selected. Now, she wasn't at the draft, but I did manage to have a little bit of a message exchange with her, and I know she is absolutely delighted to be picked up by Sky Blue FC. It does give her the opportunity to show what she is made of on the biggest stage in arguably the biggest league in the world. But for two English players to fill two international spots in that league, as I mentioned with Rachel Daly, really, really impressive. What have you made of Leah Galton from what you've seen of her?
Well, I think first off that this is just a unique situation that we've never had in the U.S., you know, league, at least in this representation, the National Women's Soccer League, two British-born players not only come to the U.S. to play their collegiate soccer, which a lot of players do, they're littered throughout, whether it's Division One, Two, or Three, but then go on to put their name in the draft selection and then get selected. We've never had that before, so it speaks volumes to what coaches think of both Rachel and Leah. Personally, I have not seen her play too much, but what I know is she is another just a pure goal scorer, played at Hofstra, which is on Long Island in New York, so it's not going to be too far you know, moving down to New Jersey to play for Sky Blue. And you know, again, it's the ability for new manager Christy Holly to build depth in his team. And that's something that I feel that Sky Blue haven't had in a while. It's just the ability to go to the bench and say, okay, can you get the job done? You know, there's been some players that have done the job, but then, you know, you get past players number 13 and 14 on the depth chart and, you know, you sometimes get some questions. But I think, you know, you add proven scorers like Leah Galton, proven world-class players like Raquel Rodriguez, and a couple other decent selections in there as well. And I think, you know, Sky Blue can feel a little bit confident that they've done a good job today.
Well, they'll need to because they fell away a little bit last year, didn't they? And obviously we've mentioned the loss of Nadia Nadim. I think the one other that we wanted to talk about in the second round, another international player who was expected to go highly, a New Zealand international, Katie Bowen. She has a lot of potential, doesn't she? A lot of people have been talking to her in the few days that I've been in Baltimore. Her name has come up in conversation quite a bit. Now, FC Casey, we've seen in the past, they're not big and they're not reliant on international players. They've had that spine, they've had that core of US players, the likes of Heather O'Reilly and Becky Sauerbrunn and Lauren Holiday, who's obviously no longer going to be with them, and they'll lose Amy Rodriguez for this season due to pregnancy. But it's a big statement from them, and a lot of confidence shown in Katie by the fact that they've taken her and given up an international spot, which, as we mentioned, they don't tend to do too often.
No, they don't. And here's the bottom line. You look at that team, Vlatko Adanovsky, and you have to assess, you know, how can you better yourself from a team that has won the previous two titles? And they've done so, in fairness, in pretty convincing fashion. While they haven't won the regular season title, they've made it count where it matters most in the playoffs, and they've played some pretty good-looking soccer as well. So Vlatko goes out and selects a pair of center backs in the second round. Granted, you could say Katie Bowen perhaps maybe could be a holding midfielder at times, which she did play a little bit at North Carolina. Also selected Brianne Reed out of Rutgers, who had a strong season at a back position. These are going to be players that are going to be partnering with Becky Sauerbrunn. I mean, when I actually asked Brianne Reed, who was at the draft, who was selected at 18th overall by FC Kansas City, her hands were shaking. It was brilliant. Just the raw emotion saying, I'm going to be learning and playing alongside of one of the best players and defenders in the world. And I think that's where both Katie Bowen and Brianne Reed are going to, they're going to thrive down in FC Kansas City, because let's be honest, Vlatko Adanovsky does have a very good eye for talent in this draft, and he's done some wonders out of it. And I think that these two players, and Katie Bowen as well, an international and a World Cup veteran in her own right, they're going to do just fine in the blue jersey.
Going to move on to round three very quickly, but just before we came on to recording, you were telling me quite an interesting and quite a touching story about Brittany Ratcliffe, who was picked at 17 by Boston Breakers. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, so I learned on social media, and funny enough, I've got a good rapport with a number of the staff over at Boston. Didn't know about this, however, when Lee, I believe it might have been Lee Billiard, it could have also been Matt Beard, one of the two, the general manager, head coach, were trying to reach Brittany Ratcliffe, who was not present at the draft. She was in class at the University of Virginia. Her phone rang. She was taking in a presentation, had to step out of the room to take the phone call, realized that she got drafted by the Boston Breakers, comes back into the room. And again, this is just off of what the Boston Breakers social media account said, that the professor asked why she left the room, and Brittany just said, I've been drafted, I'm playing professional soccer. And basically everything just erupted from there. And that's, you know, that's sometimes where you, people don't realize how brilliant some of these stories are. Because remember, these are student athletes. Student well before the athlete. And you look at a bunch of these players who have already completed their schooling before they've been drafted. You know, that's full credit to them. And I think that's a great little story. I love stuff like that.
And I think it's something that I mentioned to Rachel Daly in the interview that listeners would have heard earlier. You know, there were about probably 12, 15 players that were in attendance today in Baltimore, and they're all sat there, and they're all there waiting for their names to be read out. And the longer it goes on, the more, you know, I can imagine the more difficult it must become and the more nerve-wracking it must become. But there were 140-something players that were registered for this draft. As I say, 10, 15 of them at the actual convention centre in Baltimore. There's over 100 players waiting by a phone or, you know, waiting to hear some form of correspondence from one of those 10 NWSL clubs to say that they've been selected. And that's actually, when you say it out loud and when you think about it, that must be incredibly difficult for them.
Especially when you have a player like a Brittany Ratcliffe who's probably sitting in a class at that time of the draft, or for a lot of people, following on social media. Now, granted, this was the first year, and I think it was a brilliant job that the league put together a live stream. And I have to hand it to Jonathan Yardley and Jen Cooper. They did a phenomenal job. They talked straight for 4+ hours about the draft on very short notice, mind you. And I listened to some of the content that they're talking about, and they're absolutely brilliant. But the point, you know, back to the point that you're bringing up, Karen, is, yeah, this is nerve-wracking. Because, you know, you talk about those group of players that showed up to Philadelphia, or excuse me, to Baltimore. A lot of them are, you know, at the time of recording, it's Friday evening in Baltimore, and they're attending the All-American dinner right now, and they're receiving their awards from the National Soccer Coaches Association of America. They feel pretty confident that they're going to show up and they're going to be drafted. And you got all those players that are just waiting and waiting. And for over 100 of them, they're not going to get that phone call. Now, there's going to be a lot of those players that are going to get invited to preseason camps, but there's no guarantee in any of that. And I think that's, you know, I couldn't imagine myself doing that. I think, you know, for every one of those players that registered, that hopefully they find an avenue to continue playing, because there's a lot of brilliant players here in the U.S. And hopefully at the age of 22, it doesn't come to an end that soon.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we had a list of over 140 that were on the list of players that had declared themselves, but actually a few that weren't on that list even got drafted, didn't they? I mean, I'm looking at the list. I'm not going to go through them all, but I remember Ali Murphy from Texas Tech, who was picked at number 20 by Washington Spirit. She wasn't on our list. So when she was read out, we were like, well, who's she? You know, from my perspective, like, well, who's she? I don't know who she is, because she's not on the list of players that have declared themselves available. So there was clearly some very last minute decisions made by some of the players. But it's difficult, isn't it? You know, I know for a fact there's a young player, Georgia Kearney Perry, who has played for Watford Ladies back home in England. She was a teammate of Rachel Daly at St John's, a centre back. And if she wasn't an international player, a lot of people I've spoken to today said that she would have been picked. And unfortunately for her, she's one of those that didn't. And, you know, I wish her well. I'm hopeful that, you know, someone will have a look at her. And if not, maybe she'll come back to England and pick up a club there, because from what I'm being told, very good season for St John's, very big, imposing defender, and I think she was made an All-American, or certainly, yeah, she was made an All-American. JJ's giving me the thumbs up. So, very highly rated. But as I said, not going to go through all the picks one by one. When we come back, we'll have a brief look at the third and fourth round as well.
Women's Soccer Zone. It's all about the players.
So, welcome back. JJ, one of the things that players have to think about at a young age is having to up sticks, leave their home, sometimes move from one end of the country to the other, haven't got an awful lot of time to think about it. We're in the middle of January. The season starts in March, April. Pre-season starts in just a few weeks' time. One player who probably doesn't have to think about that too much is Erica Skorsky from Rutgers University. Do you want to tell people why?
Yeah, well, Erica, phenomenal year this year as part of that Rutgers team that had 19 clean sheets in their season this year, which is a number that's absolutely insane. But Erica was drafted 23rd overall by Sky Blue FC, which means congratulations. You don't get to leave your school. You get to basically continue playing on the same field that you're playing with for Rutgers. Probably can keep her apartment for the rest of the year if she's living in an apartment there, you know, go to this, you know, similar training facilities. That's great for her. And you know, I think for a young player or just a young professional of whatever they're going about, having familiarity is so key in life. And I have a very strong feeling that Erica, you know, outside of the fact that she was highly rated by Sky Blue, because if she wasn't picked, then why would she be selected at all? She's obviously a quality player, but now that she has the familiarity that she's going to be playing on the same field and basically getting, you know, ready in the same locker room that she used at Rutgers, it speaks a lot to where she's going to be. And I think just having that confidence and familiarity, she could do wonders for Sky Blue this year. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it's common knowledge that because of my British links in America to Seattle Reign, I have a good relationship with the club, and it wouldn't be a podcast on American soccer if we didn't mention the Seattle Reign. And at number 30, they picked up Summer Green. Now, anyone who follows the US women's national team youth teams, especially the under 17s, they will know the name Summer Green, because she has impressed in the last few years. However, she is coming off of quite a serious injury, and if that wasn't the case, she may well have been picked a lot higher. But when we spoke to Laura Harvey, and you will hear from her shortly, she said that Summer Green wasn't necessarily a player that she was looking at for now, but was a player that she would maybe be looking to use in 2017. And it was probably the first time that she'd done that, in the sense that she wasn't necessarily looking at players that she wants to use immediately, but players that she could use moving forward.
And I think to kind of not so much amend that statement, but to say that inadvertently that happened already once this past season, where Seattle drafted Havana Salon and she was injured and ended up not being able to play this past season, but the team kept her contract knowing that she'd be able to have a factor this year. But you're 100% right in saying that that's a player that can make a difference in this league, is a natural born goal scorer. There's no doubt about it. Summer Green knows where the net is, knows to find that little pocket of space, makes good runs off the ball. And for her, you know, if she needs a whole year to get herself ready, go for it. Sign her to a contract, let her rehab, let her be with it, surround herself with the team, not isolate, and, you know, just do it at your home. Be in Seattle. That's going to help a lot. She's going to be able to see everything, and I think ultimately that might make Summer Green a better player when she takes, you know, to the pitch the first time in 2017.
All goes without saying, Laura Harvey was present at the draft, and it was a good opportunity for me to catch up with her. So I had a very quick chat with her to discuss Summer Green and some of her other draft picks. So here she is.
Picking so high, we had narrowed our search down to two, Carson being in that. So even with all the changes of late, I still pretty much had always said that she was going to be the one that would be at four, who we'd want to take. So we were really happy with that. And then it was a bit of a waiting game. You just did not know who was going to go. But I think I spoke to some people last week and said I believe this would be the most unpredictable draft that had ever happened in NWSL. And I think that's been the case. And then when it got down to, you know, 25-30, we were looking at players who could come in for now and compete to get into the roster, but also then a player who could be the future. And obviously with Summer's injury, our view on her is that she will be a 2017 player for us, and so the pressure will be off her to rehab on her injury, because obviously it's a big one. But we see her as a definite future, a player for the future. And then obviously we have last pick in the draft, and with our situation this year with the Olympics, we don't know how long Hope will be gone or not, so we need somebody who can come in and be that third choice goalkeeper, and we hope Lindsay can do that.
Summer is an interesting one because she has a big reputation, but she has come back off injury. How much thought did you have to put into selecting her?
No, if she was there at 30, we were always selecting her, because I think she's got a huge talent, and I'm lucky enough that I have a roster that doesn't need her now, and we've never picked in one draft in preparation for the next season, and other teams have done it in the past, and I think they've done it well, and we've sort of used that this year to we always wanted to look at Summer as somebody that could bring in, and I just wanted to see how the draft went to see if she'd fall as low as me, and thankfully she did.
What do you make of this new allocation board you got announced today?
I think the league are trying to work really hard on getting parity across the league. It's always ever changing. I think that the way that the allocation process has worked up until now has been sufficient, but if you look at how many Americans and Canadian national team players play outside of the States now, there's not that many. So we needed a solution to how to bring others in, and we'll see what happens. I'm not fully aware of everything around it. We learnt as much about it as close as you guys did, so my opinion on it is I need time to think how it will act, and I believe that when the league come up with things, as sometimes, you know, they can take us a little bit by surprise. I believe that they think them through. I believe that they think it through for the long term. And hopefully this is a solution to an ever potentially ever growing problem that we were going to have, where how do you solve the allocation process? Do you move people around? And this could be it, and I hope that it is. I'm sure that it can be a solution to a problem that hasn't arose yet, but I think would have done in the future.
Along those lines, you've got a player coming into the league this year who's a U.S. national team star who didn't go to college, which doesn't happen very often. But if it starts to happen more and more, how does that change your outlook on the kinds of players you scout that you want to bring into the team?
Who are we talking about?
Lindsey Horan.
Oh.
You might have heard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think it doesn't change what we do. I think Lindsey had decided to do what she did before we were around. So if players have the opportunity to come into the league that don't have to go through college, that's a discussion that I think we have to have. And it probably involves more people than just the head coaches in the league or the league. It's a bigger thing than just us, I think. So it would, in my opinion, should come from the national team down on why they would believe that would be a good decision to make. Do they think it would be good for the players? Is it right for their long-term development? Is it right for them as people? And if it is, great. And I think Lindsay's a great, probably a great ambassador for that. I don't know her, but I'm sure she would be. And obviously, if we can get American players playing in this league, that's what we all want. So we want a function to make that happen.
Given the fact that your team is formed around such a tightly knit core that you've developed for long-term success, do you see a player like Carson Pickett eventually developing into one of those players?
I do, actually, yeah. I think Carson could be ideal for us. I mean, the moment I knew Steph Cox was retiring, Carson Pickett became my number one choice. And then obviously with Antonio Gorenson coming in, I think now we've got real competition in that area. And then obviously with Megan's injury, we've got some options on that left-hand side now, which I think, and obviously Paige coming in too, who can play in those positions too, I think will be great for us. That's what we needed. We needed some people who can come in, compete, and I think Carson will do that.
How does this set up the rest of the off-season for you?
We're pretty much done.
Yeah, you don't anticipate any more movement?
No, I mean, we're pretty standard. We work early, we do the draft, we play. We don't tend to do much around that. We do it for a reason. Like, I like to do the work early so that we know what we've got. We may do something with the international spot, we'll see.
So, JJ, round four, and at this point, you start to get hungry, you start to get a little bit thirsty, but you just carry on, you plough on. And actually, it wasn't the NWSL fourth round. It was the NWSL Chicago Red Stars round. Six picks overall across the whole draft. Five of them coming in the last round. Now, for some people, they will be thinking, why on earth would they be so obsessed with picking players in the latter round? Surely the good players must go early. But not always the case, is it?
No, not always the case. In Chicago, Red Stars made two separate trades to get players in this round. There is a reason. And the main reason is Rory Dames, the head coach of the Chicago Red Stars. Now, I've had the opportunity to speak with this man on a number of occasions, and he is a man that is involved heavily in, you know, club soccer through the youth levels. He works with the Eclipse Soccer Club out in Illinois, and he knows players. He bases his system about going through the homegrown system or the college system, wherever you have to be, to make his team work. And, you know, outside of the 2013 season that had a couple of German international players, Inka Grings and Sonja Fuss, playing for the Red Stars for the back end of the season, that team has been primarily made of draft picks in one form or another, plus minus a couple of international allocation players. But you look at the draft picks that the Chicago Red Stars made just in that fourth round alone, after adding Katie Naughton, a center back out of Notre Dame, in the second round. In the fourth round, they selected Courtney Reitzman out of Kentucky, a very nice defender that can play in the back as well. Janelle Flaw is a player that Rory Dames coached throughout the youth level. Janelle also played on the Red Stars reserve team in the WPSL ranks. Adrian Jordan, a defender out of Northern Colorado, another solid player, Candace Johnson, another defender that's solid. And then the real wild card, and I don't think this ever, you could say, has been done, has played with two incarnations of the Chicago Red Stars, once in 2012 with the WPSL Elite team that went to the final, and now coming back as a professional, is Ashley Ellenwood from Arkansas. A rare combination that I don't think you'd find really anywhere else, because at that time, the WPSL Elite was a pro-am league, and Chicago was an amateur team, with the addition of Lori Kolupny, which is always kind of ironic at that time. But Ashley, a very strong player, highly rated as a forward, didn't get as much attention as she probably deserved, because Arkansas is not one of the top teams in that conference, but no doubt will be among that group of players, will be making an impact on Chicago, which has set a precedent that they will go and draft players late and have them be rewarded with good performances from those late-round picks, most notably Jen Hoy, 2013, right on the cusp of being a national team player.
Well, she was picked at number 39, so it does show the depth of this draft. And I know that some people have said, oh, this one didn't have maybe the quality that next year's will have. And I know that teams have tried to acquire picks for next year through different trades that have been made already. But from my perspective, a really, really enjoyable day. My first NWSL draft, a great event to be in attendance. The room, from what I was told, compared to last year, was huge. There was loads of public support, lots of fans in attendance because it is open to the public. Plenty of media interest and a really nice atmosphere. Yes, it goes on for quite a long time. I think it started around 10:15 local time and probably finished around 2:00, and as you say, fair play to the guys who were doing the live stream, because they had to talk a lot and they had to reel off a lot of stats and information, because the people who are watching on the stream don't necessarily know everything about what's going on or the players that are being picked. So fair play to them. The only two clubs that we haven't spoken about before that, we're gonna hear from Matt Beard shortly. The only two clubs we haven't really spoken about, Washington Spirit and Orlando Pride. I'm not going to ask you to go through the players individually, but what did you make of them? Obviously, Orlando Pride, their first NWSL draft. Washington Spirit going into the season with a new head coach in Jim Gabera. What did you make of them?
Well, you know, Tom Sermani, we'll start with Orlando. He's a person that knows the U.S. game, so he's not unfamiliar with working in the U.S. system and how to get players. But just by the fact that due to the trades that the team has made to bring in the high priority internationals that they have, they didn't have a whole lot of draft picks. So went for All-American defender Sam Whitteman from Cal Berkeley at 10th overall. And then the other draft pick that I can see on my list as I skim through it right now, that would be Danny Weatherholt, a forward, could play in the midfield sometimes out of Santa Clara. Good player, you know, squad player, but can definitely hold her own. But I think, you know, for Orlando, that was kind of showing up. They had the couple of picks that they made. They made them. Move on. We look forward to how else we can build the roster. Now, for the Washington Spirit, and I'm going to say this with the greatest of respect to Jim Gabera, because I respect that man as a manager and as a person. He just has not had a very good fortune when he's been drafting in the NWSL with Sky Blue. Gets good names, not all of them show up, and some of those names don't perform to the levels that people think. His draft picks, Chayna Williams, a forward out of Florida State, a very good goal scorer. Callie Farquharson, another forward out of Arizona State, a, you know, good player in that system, can probably make something of it. The other picks that the Washington Spirit had, as I try to go through, Madeline Schiffel, a goalkeeper out of San Francisco, the University of San Francisco, Kara Wilson out of Duke, and Allie Murphy out of Texas. Again, I think these are a lot of squad players. Might try to continue to build the pipeline system because there's not a whole lot of spots on that roster that are available at the moment. So I think Jim got what he needed and not much more. He's hoping that perhaps Williams and Farquharson can give Washington some much needed help up front. But I think in my gut, in my mind, that they're going to be going elsewhere for goals.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Certainly an interesting day. As I said, my first draft. Great to attend, and I look forward to hopefully attending more in the future. It will be in Los Angeles next year, so a little bit warmer than the -5 degrees Celsius that we've encountered since we've been out here. But I could talk about my experiences all day long, but I wanted to catch up with Matt Beard, the head coach of the Boston Breakers. It was his first NWSL draft, of course, since joining the club from Liverpool Ladies. So I had a quick chat with him about his draft picks and his experience of his first NWSL convention and NWSL draft.
It's been an interesting day. It's obviously my first experience of, you know, being in the draft, and obviously we were in control of number 3 because we knew that Hawkland were taking Sonnet, and we knew that Sky Blue were going to take Rodriguez. So, you know, we needed another top quality defender to come into the group, and, you know, I'm really pleased with, you know, with Christine's coming in. You know, we're looking at playing her at sort of full back, outside back, as they say in America, and but she gave me the flexibility of being able to play centre back as well. So she's an exciting addition to the group. And then, of course, the last two sort of, you know, we planned, you know, what position that we wanted to try and bring in, and with the players we've recruited so far, we're recruiting to play a certain way, but I needed another attacking player that can, you know, maybe give me one or two different options, and you know, she you know, Britt does that for us. So, you know, we're pleased that we managed to get them two. And Abby's going to be one of the best, you know, in the future. She's very athletic. She's a good goalkeeper, got great distribution. And, you know, Ange Kelly speaks very, very highly of her. And, of course, after watching the clips and stuff like that, you know, I think she's, again, another good addition. And what I want to try and do is create competition for places right the way across the board. And I feel, with the business that we've done today and the players that we've already recruited, I just feel we're in a good position going into pre-season, and it's exciting times ahead.
You had a little bit to bargain with because the news came out literally as the draft was starting about the new allocation system. Mm-hmm. You were due to be top of that. You traded that to Portland so that you could move up the draft. What was your thinking behind that one?
We needed a defender, and we needed a top-class defender. And, you know, look, I had a list of players that I really liked that if they was available at 17 for whatever reason, that we, you know, that we would take. And, you know, when that happened, you know, it was something that we wanted to do. And like I say, I mean, you know, from our time at Liverpool that I don't just bring players in just for the sake of it. We had a game plan today and what we needed to recruit, what positions, what type and style of player we needed. And I feel that we've ticked all them boxes to do that today.
You talk about getting a class centre-back in. Boston didn't score a huge number of goals last season. Was there a temptation to maybe take like a Doniek earlier on and
of course try there was.
And increase the forward line?
Yeah, of course there was. But I'm pleased with my midfield. I'm pleased with, you know, our front line. Defensively, we needed to address that. But, you know, we have to consider the Olympics as well. And, you know, I'm not just planning for, you know, tomorrow. We're making a plan for the course of the season. And I feel that I've not been in a live game in the NWSL yet. I've watched live games on telly, and it's completely different. You know, you go to a men's Premier League back home and you watch it on Sky, it's completely different. So, you know, that's one thing that's going to take me time to adjust to. But, you know, I think with the three that we've recruited today, athletically can cope with the pro level. And, you know, that's another thing that we looked at with the players that we wanted to recruit.
And as a British coach, first NWSL college draft, how did you find the whole experience and the trades and the moving around and the timeouts? It goes on for a while, but always intriguing.
Yeah, you know what? It was funny because we're sitting there, obviously, with the first pick. Everyone knew what was coming, you know, but it took ages. And then you think, well, like, you must know who you want to bring in. But then when you're actually involved in it, and you know, we've picked 17, you know, there was three or four players that were identified that we wanted to bring in, and does someone take them before you, and you take your time out, and then you make a decision. It's tough, and you are put on the spot a little bit, and you are put under pressure, no matter how much research that you do. And but I've loved it. It's been a great day. It's been eye-opening, and it just makes me want to get on the training pitch with the players now.
And the hard work begins now, because you now have the players in from the draft. You're obviously mm-hmm. going to continue, I'm sure, to evaluate your squad, but now pre-season's not far away, and that game in March, April, around the corner.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to get on the training pitch. You know, I've spoke to every player on the phone now. You know, I've met the players that are still in Boston. You know, and you know, just looking forward to getting the whole group in. You know, and then get on the training pitch, and you know, the hard work starts.
Women's Soccer Zone. Listen to the show on Audioboom or download via iTunes. Just search for Women's Soccer Zone.
So that was Matt Beard, and I think, JJ, that's a perfect opportunity to round this episode up. Absolute pleasure, mate, to have spent the day with you at the convention, but more so, an absolute pleasure to bloody record a show in person. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, well, I think the next time that we should do this, I might have to return the favor and fly out to England. I think that we can make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. I ain't coming back to Baltimore. It's too cold. I mean, I'm English, but it is cold out here. So, look, been a pleasure. Thank you very much to the people of Baltimore for being so welcoming at the convention. It's been great. We're going to wrap it up. If you wish to contact us on Twitter, you can do. We're on at WosoZone. You can contact us via email if you wish to on wosozone@gmail.com. And, of course, you can listen to the show in a couple of ways on audioboom.com/WosoZone or on iTunes. So until next time, speak to you soon, and we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks. We'll be right back.